Francesca present Santa Matrimony.
Welcome to another Santa Matrimony. I am Matt here with Francesca, and we just saw Oz the Great and Powerful. We did see it in 3D. We were not originally intending to, but we saw it because, really, it was basically just at a more convenient time.
Yeah.
But, so, I guess before we start, we always have that discussion when we see a movie in 3D as to whether it was worth it or not. How did you feel about the value of the 3D in this movie?
Really, the only place that it was noteworthily interesting to me was the opening credits, so I don't ever... You have to work pretty hard to make me think 3D is worth it. And I think, really, the only cases in which it is when it's something like Avatar where nothing else is worth it. So, if the visuals are good,
right?
Like, yeah, you're not going to get anything else out of that.
It was a beautiful movie, though, and I think that the 3D didn't wreck it. Well, it didn't wreck the visuals for me.
I'll tell you, I mean, there were some pretty visuals, but the thing is, like, when he first gets to Oz, and there's, like, 5 minutes of, like, sweeping, you know, interesting flowers and, you know, wood chimes. What are they called? I don't know. Whistle, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's pretty, but you might as well be watching an animated film. Like, I would much rather see, like, you know, the Lost Boys hook, you know, work up that is actually practical sets.
Good,
then
good.
That's much more interesting to me visually because I, like,
good
nothing
example.
Makes you go, ah, because you know it's all just computer generated. So,
it was beautiful imagery, though. I agree with you.
Lingering on it and, like, making such a thing of it, it's like, well, I mean, you made it on a computer, so I'm not really that impressed.
I would love for somebody to actually go and calculate out the budget somehow of what something like Hook would cost today. Because, by the way, there was a lot of matte paintings in Hook, too. It's not like it was all real.
Yeah, but
like,
in a way, that's a good example. They're still, you know, tangible. I think that.
Yeah.
That is still more desirable.
But there were some CG effects in this movie that were really effective to me and well done. I think the China girl was really well done, and it's a very cool character design with her sort of surface texture. I thought she was effective. And I don't always like CG characters. I think she was a lot more effective than the monkey is.
I thought he was fine.
The monkey's fine. It's just China girl is actually interesting to look at.
I guess, I mean, you know, at this point, come to expect and, you know, tacitly, I don't know why I use that word because I don't really know what it means. But, like, you know, we accept a computer-generated character because, you know, if you're going to have a flying, talking monkey, that would be really cheesy in practical effects. But, like, all the background stuff, you know, especially because you look at the costume design and everything, and the things that were practical were very cool and neat to look at. So it makes you go, like, man, like, why couldn't you have done that, you know? Cut out 50% of the, like, soaring, you know, computer-generated stuff and then make the rest of it real.
It's pretty.
I'm having a really hard time.
It's just not awe-inspiring in the way that I think maybe filmmakers think it is. Because it's
like
nothing
I said,
we've never seen
before. My brain is going
before.
Like, well, that's fake, so I'm not impressed.
But there, I guess it's
la-di-da, those are pretty flowers. They are also real.
It is just kind of, I think, as a visual experience, it was very rich and well photographed, and I think not all of it is computer related because I think there's some great sets and costumes in the movie too.
But in terms of 3D, honestly, 3D just does not do anything for me. That movie, I would have pretty much had the same experience if I'd seen it in 2D, you know?
Right. All right. Well, so outside of the visuals, what did you think of the story, characters, that bit of it? How did you feel about it?
It was engaging. I think it was a little bloated, some of the soaring visual stuff. I was like, this is the kind of stuff that if I saw this on TV, I wouldn't really want to sit through it because, like, you know, like, okay, he gets...
You're thinking of the bubble sequence, probably, is what it sounds like the most.
Oh, actually, I was thinking of when he actually got to Oz, that, like, he's in a tornado, and that's pretty cool, but that was kind of really long. And then he's in rapids for a while. Why? He doesn't need to be in rapids. Like, you know, some of this, like, kind of like
obligatory
look what we can do
action
because,
set pieces. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was just not really any cause for them.
Which was cool because I actually think one of the things that was cool about this, by the way, you took it back to the visuals when I was asking you about the story, but
shut up, you.
One of the cool things related to that is I kept worrying because this movie follows the pattern of blockbuster formula of being like, okay, well, we're going to have the leader and the big war and everybody fights back. But I thought, well, and I was sort of dreading that of being like, oh, they're going to have the big sequence where there's 1,000 CGI people fighting 1,000 other CGI
people.
Yeah,
that was good.
But they didn't do it. They actually sort of comment, there's almost like a reference to the fact of like, I bet you think this is where we're going. And right. They don't do that.
Right.
And
it's all trickery.
It's a bit, right.
Say,
it's a bit of meta commentary on that kind of movie. And in the end, they actually solve the problem with a very clever solution with practical, I mean, they're not actually practical effects, but it's like the idea is someone used practical means to solve the problem instead of actually getting this sort of stale, unbelievable army to fight another army, you know?
Yeah, and I do like that because certainly I am sick to death of the gigantic, you know, battle sequences. And so this was definitely nice because it was a, you know, it was the opposite of that. There wasn't actually really any fighting. It was all tricks. And I liked that. And I don't know the stories at all, so I don't really know.
I don't either.
How much of that is... Like, I feel like I've heard of, like, quadlings. Like, I think some of the mythology,
yes,
anyways, was true.
Well, and it actually, from what little I know about the Oz stories, it's a pretty direct, like, political allegory. And I think they didn't go the direct route with it here, but I definitely could see where they were there. I think maybe Sam Raimi was trying to make some indirect political commentary here about this idea of, you know, everybody sort of believing in a big hero that's going to come save you, and really it's more about everybody coming together and trying to work towards something and working towards an idea instead of a man, and that sort of keeps getting brought up over and over again. I think that was probably, I mean, if it wasn't on purpose, then I think it's lying in there for anybody that wants
to see it. That I think probably would point to some of, I mean, because Baum's books were basically, you know, allegories for the political climate of the time. So I remember that was, I mean, I don't think it was,
it's a bit,
for nothing,
it's timeless.
But it was seamstress and farmers and people who built things,
right,
you know, that those were the good guys.
Tinkerers, yeah.
So I
think they're common people.
I liked it. It was, like I said, it was a little bloated. It didn't need to be 2 hours long, but, yeah.
Well, what did you think of the four main cast members?
Well, and maybe this is implanted in my head from other reviews I have read, but James Franco was not the original choice. I think he was actually, like, the third person.
It was supposed to be Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, but then also Robert Downey Jr. was another person.
Yeah, he would have been good, too. He would have been good.
And James Franco, I like him in some things, but there's sort of an underlying, like, non-charism to him.
Yes, he's like, kind of dead behind the eyes.
Well, I don't even mean that, but there's sort of, like, a weakness to him that is sort of endearing, that he kind of always looks a little tremulous, you know? Like, which, again, is, like, sort of nice in some instances, you know, like when he was like dealing with the China doll, it was very tender,
yes,
and very sweet.
Yeah.
But like, you kind of, it's hard to buy him as somebody that like people would, you know, rise up and follow.
Right.
I think he's just got this little bit of a missing piece. And in some things, I do really like him, but
127 hours to me, I mean, I think it's really popular to hate on James Franco right now.
You didn't let me finish.
I know, but I always remember that 127 hours performance because it was really great.
The thing with him is that he's very human, and again, I don't think it's a bad thing that he has this sort of weakness kind of comes through.
Human is a good word.
Because it makes him, you know, you do sort of like, oh, like really believe him in moments where he's supposed to be weak or, you know, but the problem is he's supposed to also play somebody who can sort of inspire the masses and
right,
be this great showman. And I think you would have, if you had somebody who was actually more scenery chewy, such as Johnny Depp, or Robert Downey Jr., who also have those other aspects. Maybe not Johnny Depp so much. He's kind of into the realms of, like, David Bowie Alien at this point.
Right, yeah.
But, like, I think Robert Downey Jr. can kind of do both. But I think with there's a little too much humanity for him in this part.
Well,
but I do like him.
Speaking of humanity, though, I think it's interesting that we have a big, huge blockbuster movie, because this is easily, by the time we're recording this, this is already a huge hit. This is the first massive hit of 2013, where it's a movie where there are the three most powerful characters in the story are women, and two villains and one hero. And she really, I mean, she is, for all intents and purposes, she's the actual, you know, like, savior character in this. And they're all women, which I think is very unusual for a huge, big-budget blockbuster. But they're also, they're very interesting characters, all three of them. And I don't know how everybody else feels. I haven't read any reviews. I thought all three were well cast. And the only one I can even imagine somebody having an issue with is Mila Kunis, but I thought she was good.
Yeah, I think she did a good job. I mean,
that's the most demanding of the three roles, for sure, because she goes from pretty seamlessly from playing the sort of naive little love-struck girl to being evil, and you see the whole journey, and it's never really ridiculous why she is the way she is at any point.
Well, and I actually have to say, Michelle Williams has sort of that same James Franco quality, in as much as, like, there is a tremulousness to her that, like,
she's ethereal,
she's so
though.
Tender-hearted that it, like, sometimes it almost seems like she's gonna cry because she's so tender-hearted.
It makes
but,
me want to cry every time I see Michelle Williams.
But there was also, like, an element to that character that she was, like, wiser. Like, she kind of, the naivety was also a little bit of a put-on.
Yes.
That, like, she's just all good and all sweetness and light, but,
no.
Like, she sort of knew what was going on and, like, look, this is how this is gonna work. I know you're not powerful, but, like, they need to think you're powerful. So there was, like, you know, she was not
she
just...
She was...
The Glinda from The Wizard of Oz.
She wasn't that...
I mean,
no.
Like, she was a little bit...
But she was good-hearted without being jaded by it. She had wisdom and yet was not cynical, which I think is an interesting... It's a multifaceted character. But I don't know. I really... I kind of, you know, I've always liked Rachel Weisz too, and I think that it's you don't get to see her in movies like this.
To be because she was kind of a flip flopper. Like,
yeah,
you know, she like thought she was bad, but she was like, oh, I'm not that bad. What?
Well, we don't get to see her in movies like this very often because she typically does, you know, the sad lawnman or the constant gardener.
The sad lawnman.
No, she's always in movies like that where she's like, I'm a reporter. And
well,
someone's died.
And again, I think I can see why this film would appeal to her, because this was not just, like, these were all maybe, they were all sort of, like, more thoughtful characters than they needed to be.
I think the three women definitely
are. Which I think probably is probably what pulled in the actors that they got, and then potentially is what, you know, makes this film just a little bit better than it needed to be, is because they were able to get in some good actresses.
Now, I have to nerd out on this for a second, because I'm not entirely sure about, and maybe I would know this if I'd read the Oz books, I'm not really sure exactly what's supposed to be going on, or whether there even is a clear answer to this, but is it, because the original movie, it's made kind of clear that it was all a dream, but I think the idea here is that it's not a dream that he's having, that it really is happening, and... Also, though, if this is supposed to fit in with the original movie, and I think maybe it's not, that character appears both in Black and White World and in Oz, if
in
you
the
remember.
Original movie?
Yes, he is the wizard at the beginning, the fortune teller.
Yeah, I think that was for the film, because...
They changed how it works.
Yeah, have you ever seen Return to Oz? Which
no,
I
have
is
not.
Also supposed to be a return to the stories. What I think... The original, you know, Wizard of Oz, Dorothy story, everyone thinks it's a dream, but that it did actually happen. This is according to Return to Oz, the 1980 whatever film.
Okay. Is Dorothy a character in Return to Oz?
She's crazy, and they're like, you know, yeah, oh yeah, she's the main character. And they put her in a mental institute because they think...
Not the other kind of institute. It sounded like you were saying a menstrual institute.
No, it didn't sound like I was saying that. But that's not... What is that? What does that even...
I don't know.
Even mean anything. But so, like, she... They're, like, trying to convince her that it didn't happen and that she's, like, keeps having these dreams. And then there's a big storm and she goes back to Oz. So I think it's, like, you know... I mean, it's...
So maybe the original, only a dream thing. That was made up for the original film.
As J.K. Rowling might say, well, even if it is just in your mind, does that make it any less real?
Oh, snap. Oh, right. Harry Potter reference.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyways.
But I don't think it's necessarily...
Well,
like, I mean, she goes back there, so right. Presumably it is a place that exists.
And you pointed out to me, which this would have slipped past me, that... Michelle Williams' character in the beginning, the Kansas version of her,
her name was somebody
that she's
Gale.
Going to marry. She's going to marry John Gale, which would be presumably would make them Dorothy's parents.
Yes, and she's wearing the blue gingham.
Oh, and so apparently, some horrible fate will befall them, and Dorothy will live with her aunt.
I guess so.
I don't know if this is. I mean, I assume at this point this has made so much money. I assume there's probably at least a discussion about a sequel.
Yeah, but I don't,
but I don't know where you can go with it.
I mean, I think that the next story would have to be Dorothy. And
but I don't know if they're allowed to do that.
They're not allowed to. So I don't really know.
Well, they could. If Dorothy is in the book, then they can do that. Because the books are public domain.
Well, the problem is that... who is it? It's not Warner Brothers. Is it MGM?
It's MGM owns Wizard of Oz.
That the... There, because as I was reading in that article, there's like certain properties, like, you know, their Yellow Brick Road couldn't completely match up with the MGM.
Yes.
And there's like certain stuff that
green
MGM
skin.
Owns that they like aren't allowed. So, I mean, I don't really know how it would be plausible. And I mean, there's a reason nobody's remade The Wizard of Oz. Like, you can't.
You don't want to remake it. I just want to see more in this universe because I really like it. And
then you should watch Return to Oz, which will creep you the H out.
But you know what?
I really. It's the scariest movie of my childhood, for sure.
I really, even though they were supposedly trying to be careful to not reference the original, there are clearly, to me, a lot of nods to the original that I don't know if, I mean, whether they were talking about stuff from the books or not, there's Easter eggs all over this movie. Maybe not even call them Easter eggs. There's a Cowardly Lion bit. There's a reference to scarecrows pretty heavily.
These are all supposed to, you know, already exist in the, you know.
Yeah.
In the world. But,
The horse of a different color.
Right.
Is back there at some point.
Because these things already exist when Dorothy gets there, so.
Right.
You know. The, Winky Men or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
I mean, those pretty much look exactly like they do in The Wizard of Oz, so...
I just really... I mean, I know other people have explored the witch mythology from this story before, obviously, in the books. Not necessarily the musical, I guess, but the Book of Wicked is sort of about that. I don't know if they're named Evanora and whatever her other name was. What was the other girl's name?
Theodora.
Theodora and Evanora.
I don't think so.
You read Wicked, did you not?
Yeah, it was a drag.
You didn't like it?
It was real obnoxious. I definitely liked the stage play, though, which is very different from the novel. Well, the novel is like a political, like it's like a very, like, you know, adult, serious, whatever.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that it would fit to have these witches going to high school, though, in this kind of universe. That's clearly pretty winky.
Well, again, that's more... Wicked is definitely a Disney-fied version of... I mean, it only took the barest framework of the novel Wicked to make its story, because I'm telling you, the novel is weird. I didn't like it.
All right, well...
But I will recommend you go look at Return to Oz and get real, real scared real, real fast.
All right.
Maybe not real... No, it's pretty creepy from the beginning. It is super creepy.
Is that the one that has the river of acid around the Emerald City?
Yeah, you have to walk on the wheelies and TikTok. Oh my god, it's so scary! It's so scary. And queen who has beheaded the women, the beautiful women, and she can just put on a different head whenever she feels like
it.
There's just cases of heads.
That's a queen, though. That's not a witch.
I don't remember. And the talking rock man. So scary. What were my parents thinking? Let me watch that. And the wheelies. Oh my gosh. I'm sure that's on streaming somewhere. It's worth checking out.
All right.
You want to be scared.
All right.
Cruise a ball.
I'll have to check it out.
Looking like 5 years younger. That was the thing that always bothered me as a child.
Firuza Balk.
She's Dorothy. But she looks so much younger.
Oh, wait. You mean, like, who is that? Who's Firuza Balk? I know that name.
She was, what was she in? She was in The Craft.
I've not seen The Craft.
Well, neither have I, but I know that's... She was kind of kicking around in the 90s.
All right, well...
But this is when she was a little girl, and she looked much younger than Judy Garland, and it always really bothered me that she looked so much younger, but it was supposed to be the same character.
Right.
And she has a talking chicken, so...
Oh.
So
of course.
That.
All right, well, back to this movie, just really quickly. So, overall...
Did
you like it better than the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland?
I couldn't even sit through that.
This is way more interesting to look at, and a better story with better characters than that... dead, soulless Alice in Wonderland movie.
Yeah, but I would say, I mean, this is maybe B, maybe even like a B minus. I mean, it's not wonderful, but
I would B plus it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great popcorn movie.
Well, I did enjoy my popcorn in my annual bucket. Wow.
Francesca has purchased an annual popcorn bucket for everyone, where basically she has it for the year, and
I have to carry it into a theater, and
she
also
carries
carry it out
this
like
enormous
a
bucket with her into the theater so that they can refill it for her.
Oh, you jealous? You're just jealous?
Yeah.
So they can refill it for $3.50!
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's the best. I only get a half filled, so don't judge me. But if you ever want to go...
Do you want to, like, start giving your ratings for movies now in buckets? Like, I give it this many buckets.
Don't be ridiculous, Matt.
How many buckets do you give this one, though?
Out of how many?
Out of 3.5 buckets.
Out of 3.5? That's ridiculous. That's to be like 5.
You give it 2.75 out of 3.5 buckets. All right, well, that'll do it for us.
I give it 5,000 kernels.
That's probably not that many.
Out of a billion! I know, actually. No, 5,000 because they pop up and they're a lot bigger, so it's probably... We'll do the math and get back to our listeners.
Popcorn math on the next Cinematrimony.
That's right.